So baptism, the faith response of a believer. Baptism follows your faith to believe. You aren't baptized, then believe. You believe and then are baptized, okay? So you can't be baptized into a belief. You believe and then are baptized. Hi, Tom. Baptism is actually the burial service of the old nature. Jesus took away our sin. It says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." You can confess a sin. You can actually confess many sins if you're like me. That each day you might, and Adam is nodding his head agreeingly. But it's another whole thing to take away the whole ball of wax, so to speak, to take away sin. To take away sin means that you went beyond taking away one sin or two sins or three sins. You took away sin, which was comprised in our old nature. And he did that at the cross, nailing our old sinful man on the cross and putting it to death. It says in Colossians that baptism removes, and it uses the word circumcision of the heart, removing the body of flesh from our heart. And it's in that body of flesh where sin is actually formed, conceived. Once you have a revelation, of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, once you have a revelation of what died at the cross, you can be free from sin. Free from the power of sin. Put it that way. And you can have confidence in your own life. When I say your own life, I'm not speaking of the life in Adam. I'm speaking of one who believes has a life now that's in Christ. It's his life, and you can be confident in that life you have in Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? That you're a new creature? That you're a new creation? You ever thought about that all things have become new? That those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation? Have you ever thought about being in Christ? And have you ever thought about what gets to be in Christ? Can anything unholy be placed in Christ? And where are you? You're in Christ. So something had to happen to you to be able to enter into Christ. In other words, you had to become holy. You had to be sanctified. You had to be justified. You could not be put in Christ unless you have become holy. There is no other way. That happened as He circumcised your heart and took away that which is unholy, that which is unrighteous, and nailed it to the cross. The cross is probably far more important than most Christians give it. But I'm telling you, it is the central belief. It's the center of everything a Christian believes happened at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul would make this statement. For I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We take communion, remembering His death. Remembering the death. Why don't we remember His resurrection? Well, certainly we want to remember the resurrection. But unless you know what happened at the cross, at the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, you may not enter into the fullness of His resurrection. There has to be an understanding of a complete death. Like Don Pfotenhauer once said, Jesus didn't come to hurt you, He came to kill you. He came to put to death that which you received from the first creation, Adam. And you get to enter into a new creation. Oh, I need an editor. I'm sorry. There was too many twos there. Two. I just got into two. Okay. First Corinthians 2:2. It kind of clears up for those of you who are looking it up in the Bible. This is the Thompson loose leaf Bible. No. So what's so important here? First of all, Jesus was born of Mary by the Holy Spirit, and He became a man according to the flesh. Jesus became a man according to the flesh. He was of Adam, just like we were. And yet, because of His obedience as the Son of God, He never sinned. He was perfect according to the flesh. And in Him, the whole law was fulfilled, which then qualified Him to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. When He died, all of Adam died. He was the last Adam. And He became, through the resurrection, a life-giving spirit. When He died, you died. He took you to the cross with Him. The most John the Baptist could do was a repentance or a cleaning away of the dirt. I'm going to use that phrase because we're going to go to 1 Peter in a minute. He could take away, you could repent and have repentance for remission of the dirt that you have accumulated. And quite frankly, I think the church still has some misunderstanding that we still want to get rid of the dirt. But they would only get dirty again. When Jesus died, He put to death the whole being and who I was in the flesh. Namely, who I was according to the first creation of Adam. It died. It wasn't cleaned. It wasn't fixed. It was destroyed by the cross. You need to know that. In fact, Paul says, knowing that, in Romans 6:6, knowing that I was crucified with Christ, knowing that, you got to know that in your knower, that you were crucified when Christ was crucified. It happened for us at the cross, but it can only be experienced by faith. You can only experience what Jesus did at the cross by your faith. And just to make sure you don't boast, that faith was also given to you by God. But you need to believe it. Agree with God. Agree with the Word. So at the cross, we were freed from our Adamic life. And for all who believe, have received, this is the good news, an indestructible life. So it says in Hebrews. It's the indestructible life of Jesus, also known as eternal life. When Jesus came up out of the tomb, He was a life giving spirit. He didn't just put to death the Adamic nature, but He made ready a new life for you and for me, that we can enter into all that Christ is, that you can receive Him, His life. But it's not just an ordinary life. Right, Bob? It's an extraordinary life. It's an indestructible life. Now, if you really believe that, then what power does death have over us? None. We have an indestructible life. Death can no longer take it. We are free from sin and death. John 5:25, Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." You got the dead, and you got those who live. Remember back in the garden? "Do not eat from this tree. Do not eat from this tree, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." You think they could eat of it and still escape death? No. They immediately began the death process. But it wasn't totally complete that Adam and the whole thing was put to death at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of that judgment was completed once and for all, Jesus being the last Adam. When He died, all died. When He died, it was over, finished, done. Nothing left. So we got the dead. Now the dead hear. Only if God causes them to hear. But it said the dead shall hear His voice and live. Those who hear and those who believe are born again. Through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're born again into a living hope. We're born again into an indestructible life through Jesus, the life-giving Spirit. So the only ones who are alive, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, the love of Christ controls us, concluding this one fact, that one died for all, therefore all died. And then he says, and those who live. When you say those who live, it means some are alive, some are dead. Those who have heard and believed are alive. Be listening. Because God has many things for us to do, but first of all, you've got to hear and believe. Hear and believe. So the next response after that is thanksgiving and a desire to be baptized. The eunuch says, when he finally believed, the eunuch says, well, he's driving along in his chariot and he said, there's water over there, isn't that good enough? And Philip said, yep, that's good enough. And they stopped and he had this desire to be baptized. He had a desire to be washed. He had a desire to put that old, dead, Adamic nature in the tomb where it belonged, to be buried with Christ in baptism. So here's one that doesn't even have a reference. You just get to guess what 21 it is. I think it's 1 Peter 3, I believe. Candia will check it out for me. Anyway, here Peter is talking about Noah. Corresponding to that, the story just prior to this, he's talking about Noah and the eight people who entered the ark. What happened to the rest of them, by the way? Did they make it at all? When the waters went down, did some of them rise up again? What was it? What was said of Noah? That he was righteous. And it says of his family, the eight righteous were saved. And everything else, toast. And Peter here is referring to baptism here, so look at it this way. What was put into you when you were born again? The Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus, and Jesus Himself. And really, what came into us was righteousness. And when you believed, you became righteous in Christ. Christ in you. You became righteous. So there is something righteous about a believer. When he goes into baptism, it said it's just like Noah. When you're in Christ, Christ is better than the ark. The ark probably rotted away on Mount Ararat. They're still looking for it. Even though it was made of gopher wood with sap and whatever else, tar. And Jesus was better than the ark. Once you're in Him, you can go through the water. Whatever. You don't perish. He who believes in me shall not perish. So you can, whatever happens, but the point is in Christ, you make it. What doesn't make it? The unrighteousness. All the unrighteousness that gets buried in baptism does not make it. Just in a little bit, we're going to go to another scripture. But there are those who would like to pin you back onto that. There are those that want to pin unrighteousness back on you and you and you and everybody else. I'm here to give you the news that righteousness has come in Jesus Christ, and you have that forever in Him. No one can take that away. No one can snatch it from you. But you only get to experience this by faith, believing what happened at the cross. So it says, baptism now saves you. And I just want to clear up here, because I grew up in the Lutheran church. Praise God, our Lutheran church didn't buy into the fact that when you're baptized, you get saved. I mean, this verse kind of says, well, isn't that what it says? No. It's Jesus, believing on Him that we have salvation. And baptism, yeah, it saves us from the power of sin. It takes away the flesh. It takes away all the filthiness. But it said it's not the removal of dirt from the flesh. What do you mean by that? It's not the removal of dirt from the flesh. It's the removal of the flesh itself. It's the cutting away. In Colossians it says it's the removal of the flesh. It's the circumcision of the flesh. The body of flesh was taken away. He didn't just come and clean up the flesh and make it look good. And let me tell you, anybody who tries to get you back into the law is working on cleaning up something and adding on to that which Jesus has already accomplished at the cross for us. We can't add to it. You can't make it better. Nothing you can do can make it better. Not one thing. You can't make it better. It's already accomplished for you through the cross. And anybody who says that you have to do something more is a Jesus, I call him a Jesus plus person. You know, yeah, Jesus is fine, but we've got to add a little bit here. I was talking, Reggie really helped the other day. I kind of looked this whole thing up. This word, you see that word appeal up here? I was talking to Reggie the other day, and he kind of enlightened me a little bit on that. So, have you ever appealed to your parents for the car? The answer would be, well, maybe yes, maybe no. And the word appeal here kind of would lead you down the fact that maybe I have a good conscience, maybe I don't. But what's the Greek word for that appeal? The Greek word is cognate. Cognate. Have you ever heard the word cognizant? Cognizant? When you're cognizant of something, what does that mean? You're aware of it. The sun is out. Is that a yes or no question? When you see the sun up there, well, maybe it's out, maybe it's not. No, I'm cognizant of the fact that this is true. This word appeal should probably better be saying, an inquiry was taken and I was found to have a good conscience. an inquiry was happened. That's what it said when I looked it up. It was like someone studied this thing out and concluded that I have a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not that you're trying to find a good conscience or let me do good so that I can have a good conscience. No, an inquiry was studied out and you were found in Christ to have a good conscience. Believe that? Or is that something you need to work on? We're going to find out in just a moment here that there were those who decided that wasn't the way to go. And it was written about in the Scripture. So let's just flip over to this. See if I... We're stuck here at this. You want to advance me up there? There we go. This thing must have died. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Well, I suppose you could say, well, were these things given to us or are these things we work at and we're going to get better at it? I'm here to say that these things were given to you when you received the life-giving Spirit. You were given pure love. You were given a good conscience and you were given sincere faith. You didn't work that up. You didn't somehow study enough to get it. You were given these things. That's his goal. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Okay. Well, there it worked. 1 Timothy 1:6. For some men, strength from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law. Even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. It goes on to say we should use the law lawfully. What did they stray from? They strayed from pure love from God. They strayed from a good conscience. And they strayed from a sincere faith. What was the result? A movement back towards the law. Because if you didn't get a good conscience, if it was just a removal of dirt and now the dirt's come back on me again, and I feel dirty again, my conscience is bothering me again, and I have to clean it all up again. And you don't believe that it was all taken away and you were given a good conscience, then it's back on your shoulders. It's back on you to get this thing right. Clean it up. Get it right. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. Just get it right. And it's all put back on you. And as soon as the law comes in, what rises up? The power of sin. And you find out that they put you back into... You know, we were going up to a reserve up in Canada. And there was a lady in Minneapolis that was praying. And she got this prophetic word for us. She said, I saw people going out into a graveyard and digging up the graves. When we got to this reservation, we found out that everybody up there was deep into legalism, and they had resurrected this old flesh and brought it back out of the tomb, and they were bickering and fighting against each other, accusing each other, blaming each other. All the things were going on that the Scripture says from now on we should recognize no man according to the flesh. Well, they were doing it big time. You'll never be able to have a good conscience if you're back in the law. Verse 18, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience." Keep it. Now, I trust that you wouldn't be taking credit for your good conscience. Or you wouldn't be taking credit for your faith. Because if we are, then what good was the cross? If we can somehow build up our own faith somehow and somehow get a good conscience. But the way I read it is God gave us a good conscience. And you know why? Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you going to say that your life in Christ Jesus is bad somehow? Or was it good? Did Jesus give you a good conscience when He came in? Or did He bring that plus you get to keep your old conscience? Have you got two consciences going on here? I'm telling you, hang on to the conscience that was given to you when you were born again in Christ. That He gave you a good conscience. And that's settled once and for all. Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Now there's, if you catch on to this, some have rejected it. It didn't say they sinned. It didn't say that they lost it. It said they rejected it. And I guess we have that same option. We can reject a good conscience. But I'm telling you, don't reject it. It's salvation. It's salvation. And suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. No longer believing in a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus. But again, turning to their old conscience and being found guilty again before God. And looking for a way to clean it up through keeping, doing better somehow. Later on in the fourth chapter, he says this, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." First of all, I want to say that we're in these times. The latter times are upon us, okay? And there will be people attacking the church, trying to get them back to their own conscious level of what I am doing rather than what Christ has done. They'll try to get you focused back on what are you doing. And I'm exhorting you as a church to keep focusing on what Christ has done, not what I am doing. Focus on what Christ has done. He's the finish. He's the one who has completed all these things. You can't. But it said they believed these liars, allowing their faith to be robbed and their own conscience to be seared. You know, I was studying this, and you could probably look at it a couple different ways. You could say that the people who were teaching these things had seared their conscience from the truth. Or you could look at it that if you go this way, your own conscience. But one thing that stuck out to me is it doesn't talk about the conscience that was given to you. It talks about your own conscience. And I'm so convinced in my heart that we were given a clean conscience. In fact, in 1 John, what does it say? If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. Don't ever fall into the trap of America or what I grew up with. It says, let your conscience be your guide. Don't ever go there. That's not a good... Jesus didn't send us the conscience to be our guide. He sent us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. You follow Him. You follow the truth. He gave us a clean conscience, but we don't follow our conscience. We follow Jesus. But again, they tried to find another way to clean up. And just to close this out, Paul says this, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. I've heard two or three, maybe four, in the last month of people who have, and it's very interesting because it's the same message comes against the church, but it all has to do with getting back under the law. And somehow, if we could start doing better, if we would do better, our behavior would actually release promises from God. The promises from God are all yes and amen in my behavior. That's not what the scripture says. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, Him alone. There is no other way to receive anything from God than through our Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. So what are we to persevere in? Love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Fight the good fight. Jesus paid a big price for these things, and these gifts were given to you. Do not reject them. Do not go another way. Do not throw them out and say that somehow my behavior is going to change this which happened. If your behavior changes these things, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. You did not come into the kingdom because of your behavior. What was on the screen here that started out the PowerPoint for worship? While you were yet rotten sinners, Christ died for you. It wasn't your behavior that brought Jesus. It was His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It wasn't because God saw that man finally got it, and now I'm going to give them these gifts. And don't think that somehow that when it got all started and God gave you the gifts, that then He's going to turn around and say, okay, now it's up to you. That's not the way it's going to be. It's going to remain a finished work of Jesus at the cross. For all who believe on the Lord Jesus have been given a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking otherwise, tricking you through clever speech and promises to follow the law again to gain any of these things. You have them by faith. Hold on to them. If you still have a guilty conscience towards God, then by faith and believing on Christ, you can receive a clear conscience today towards God. Today. If you're guilty, if you're feeling guilty, then turn your faith again to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can also say, if you've never been baptized, today could be your day. Today could be your day. These are sincere, these are the best of times and the worst of times, huh? But know this, that in the last days, there will be those coming trying to rob us of what was accomplished for us at the cross. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do that. Hang on. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that we, Lord, can rest in what You have accomplished. And that, Lord, we, by faith, believe that that cannot be taken away from us. That no powers to be, no principalities or powers can ever come and snatch those things from us who believe. Lord, guard our hearts from deception, the deceitfulness of sin. Lord, just guard our hearts. Guard our hearts, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we who was it today that said, where we sit, we stand? Lord, I want to proclaim that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places and we stand with Him for eternity. That's who we are and that's where we're going to take our stand. And the Scripture even says, when you've done everything else, stand. And we stand with You, Lord, in what You've done. And we proclaim that You finished that work for us and are asking us to only believe that and not to add anything else to that. Help us, Lord. Guard our hearts and our mind. Guard them, Lord, in Christ Jesus, that we might persevere and hold on to the faith, not being shipwrecked, not rejecting what You have done. Lord, help us, I pray. Go with us today, Lord, and Lord, restore the joy of our salvation. Restore that joy, Lord, that we can rejoice in what You have done forever and ever. Amen.